This is the Ed Milet Show.
Welcome back to Max Out, everybody. We got a great show today.
Don't start smiling already.
I'm so excited. I went to the higher register.
That?
I did it.
Where was that? I haven't heard that out of you
See,
ever.
We were talking off camera about my incredibly deep voice, and one of the reasons we were talking about this, because this is one of the most observant people on planet Earth, I think, and also one of the funniest.
You realize I'm watching everything you
do.
I'm watching everything you do right now. I'm using the deeper tone of the voice, presentational. Make sure that people can max out, do what they need to do. This is what it's all about. And I don't care. Listen, I was at the gym the other day. I know you probably saw me there. A lot of people doing. You know why? Because I was shooting an Instagram video from the gym. So you knew I was at the gym. Because not everybody goes to the gym. And we got everybody at the gym through me.
Oh, we're going to do this, aren't we, today? This is awesome. This is Frank Caliendo.
I didn't even let you intro me.
No,
see, you were worried about me talking enough. You're like, what can we do? What can we do to get through this? We're going to, I made a checklist. What you need to do is write things down. And if you don't write things down, how do you know that you're going to be doing them? So what I do is I make a checklist for everything I do. Then I make a checklist of all my checklists for today. Today, I have, for just today, 32,400 checklists. And I've got them all. They're up here. You know why? Because I work at this. I make this happen every single time. A lot of people, if I did this and this was your hand, it would go through it. It would go through your hand. But it doesn't. You know why? Because I work this hand as much as I work this hand. Bilateral. I don't even know if that's the right word. I told you, you weren't going to get it. You would never say that. You never know. I don't know if that's the right. You'd be like, that is the right word.
That is literally that's the right
literally.
Word.
Literally. I saw that post too.
Yeah.
I've been actually watching a lot of your posts.
You should.
No, because I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we wanted to go into, I told you your interview would be me interviewing myself.
Awesome.
That's why I have Morgan Freeman in my head going, that's when the audience realized this guy wasn't quite sane.
So
truth is, he was trying to figure out what he was going to ask next. But Frank wouldn't give Ed a chance. Well, that's just the way it was at Shaw Frank. Either get busy living or you get busy lying or dying. I'm not really sure which it is, lie or die, but it all fits together. All right, so let's get back on track. Let's figure out where we're going. Mike, everything okay? It is Mike too, right?
Mike.
Usually there's 9 guys doing Mike's job, but I trained him. I brought him up the peak. You don't even do this, but this is what I'm creating you to be. This is what people are gonna start doing to you.
It's a signature move.
Yeah, it's up the peak. We're not talking about a little mountain climber. We're not talking about the Price is Right. We're talking about peak performance, maxing out. Max out, peak, max, good. Peak, max, good. I'm gonna get a hat about that. When you put it on my hat, it's probably too big. You know what? Get a bigger head. Get a bigger head with a bigger hat, and you're gonna peak, max, out. I forgot what it was already.
Oh my God.
All right, so.
I'm crying.
No, I'm what,
you Can know, I introduce you?
No, yeah, go
This
ahead.
Is Frank Caliendo, everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Bring it back. Go to the deep voice. Stop the Porky Pig stuff, and we'll figure it out.
Oh my gosh!
So,
I don't know. Really
you asked me a question a while ago.
I don't think I ever got the one.
Oh, you didn't get
no,
the question yet?
There.
That's probably the problem. I've been giving you answers, and no questions have come out. So, this is my life. I just seeing a little bit about your life and your house, and watching your posts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can tell a lot about you.
You can.
And I believe this is what I think it's. I'm a comedian, for those of you who don't know. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of impressions, but I watch people. And I think you do a lot of watching people. Just watching your post about using the words that other people use.
Yep.
Is the word psychology or sociology or just, there's an ology.
There's an ology there.
There's an ology. Mm-hmm. Chronologically, which is a word I just made up, but it's coined and used in 42 countries now. What are we going to do? Up the peak, max, out. out. Like a baseball umpire.
We're going to do
up the peak,
max,
max, out.
It's my new signature move.
So As you can tell, I'm pretty much all over the place. And I feel like you, whether you started out this way or not, you are a person who does, you set goals.
Yes.
You set goals and you constantly set goals. Mm-hmm. And that's how you live your life. And it's fun for you, I think.
It is.
Because achieving the goals are what give you those endorphins and go, I just did it. Like, I texted you something and I got a bam back, right?
Did I give you a bam?
Yeah, I got a bam. Yeah. So. And it wasn't even emoji that was created before that day. Apple heard me say it, knew it was going to be something. I didn't even say it. It was just a text. But hey, that's why we're going up the peak. Max out. So I'm all over the place. That's one of the difficult things. And when I've been watching some of your stuff, I'm going, this is all the stuff I need to hear.
Thank you.
I'm not doing this as a commercial for you.
Mm-hmm.
Although this place you live in, what a dump. It's unbelievable how beautiful this place is. I live in the desert and I'm doing well.
You're not allowed to tell them how well you're doing? Is that part of what we're not supposed to tell them?
I don't care. That's why nobody really knows because I am kind of a regular guy. I don't dress up. Mm-hmm. Like I usually put jeans on just because of this, and I got the black shirt,
the jeans memo.
So people just see me as this kind of a schlumpy guy. And so I don't always, I don't even brush my hair off. Like, look at this. They should have done a little bit more with that because you're well groomed. I mean, you took time to figure out what parts of your face you wanted hair on and what you didn't. I just went like this in the shower to even look. So you spend that time. But it's details. It's detail oriented, and that's.
But how have you become successful if you have none of that? Like where you live, we won't talk about. You own multiple homes where you live. You've had a career. I've been watching you since like '95 on Mad TV is when I first saw you. So when was that? 23 years.
It was probably a little later than that. I was probably on started Mad TV around 2000. I was on a show called the WB called Hype.
Okay.
The big thing that happened to me was on the NFL on Fox. Jimmy Kimmel was there.
Yep.
And he brought me in at the time. There's a story about he had a guy who did a John Madden impression, which is what I became totally known for, pigeonholing before getting myself out of it. But so he had a guy who did John Madden. His producer had a guy who did a John Madden impression. For the people who don't remember John Madden, he's not a video game creator. He was actually an NFL coach and Hall of Fame broadcaster and coach. So he brought me in to do this sketch, Madden for President. And I took a pair of hedge clippers and cut off the Madden eyebrows, which, and I guess Madden, the story goes that Jimmy, after he did that sketch, the next day Madden had cut his eyebrows, trimmed them a lot better. But he had a guy who did John Madden, his producer had a guy who did John Madden. They're fighting over which guy they were going to use. I was both guys. Like, everybody wanted me to do it. They just didn't know it was Frank Caliendo at the time. And the Madden voice was, you say all the things you can say and you do all the things you can do, and then boom. And the Madden impression went from just talking like the regular guy to becoming this. Sometimes the impressions become more fun for me to make them characters. So they're not sounding like the person anymore. And people don't always understand this. Because I could sound pretty much exactly like he is, or you just heard me, this guy does this crazy, the crazy kind of thing. I was on a show called Mad TV, as you know, and Will Sasso. I was on the show with Will Sasso, and he did that with a character Kenny Rogers, and he's like, "I'm Kenny Rogers," and he would do this thing, and he turned it into this whole other character, and that's how you do multiple sketches. If you only do the impression of the person. Gets boring.
Gotcha.
Make something big out of it and make it more of a cartoon character. Dana Carvey's the greatest at it.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey, Nat Gandet, all those kinds of things.
Yeah. But you've had this long career, let's be honest. It's very difficult. I'm going to do some serious stuff today because I've already been crying. So, but there are people, I said this about J-Lo, like there's very few people been relevant in the public eye for like 20-something years.
That's a much higher level, obviously, too, J-Lo to stay.
I don't disagree with that, but still, you've been at a high level. You've been on people's televisions or like people that are watching this right now. There's very few people who are looking at you right now who are saying, I've never seen this guy before.
Yeah, and a lot of times people have seen me and they think I'm going to be, like I've lost a bunch of weight too, but people, one thing from TV, people always expect me to be taller and fatter, and when you're on TV, they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
They're like, I thought you'd be way taller, man. I'm like, sorry.
I get that all the time too. Taller and bigger. That's what they always tell me.
Well, you do. Yeah. I mean, you're big.
Yeah, but you thought I was bigger.
I did think you'd be. Thicker is probably the word, but not.
I think I was thicker. I've actually shrunk.
Is that maybe what it is?
But today's not about me, but okay. I have shrunk.
It's going to keep coming back to you.
But so are you being really honest? Because I told you, I interviewed Sebastian Maniscalco, who's also a comic and become a comedian. And I don't consider him just a comedian because he's an actor. I don't consider you just a comedian either because of the impressions and your acting ability. And frankly, your insights into like human beings and behavior.
Right.
So that would be underselling you. But having said that, he told me his only goal, like he said one goal, which was to be a stand-up. That's what he wanted to do. And he has also not been good, even though he's become this incredibly successful guy like you have. You've really not had a lot of goals? Is that true?
No, my initial goal was just to be, because I didn't even want to be a comedian. People always used to say, you should be a comedian. I'm like, I don't have any interest in that. I didn't know. I wanted to be in sports journalism, a broadcast. I was a broadcast journalism major.
Me too.
In college. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and then I realized I'd have to go work in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Nothing against Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'm like, I got to just ask stories about the high school baseball players. I don't like sticking a mic in somebody's face. I wanted to be the person interviewed, and I liked watching some of the people on The Tonight Show and stuff like that. So my goal, my one big goal was to be a guest on late night television. And I got there. And I got there pretty quickly within a few years. So then I didn't have other goals. I didn't have other plans. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I mean, I remember even talking to Jimmy Kimmel about that when I came and did his NFL on Fox stuff before I got the job. He's like, what else am I going to do? This is him talking. I want to be a talk show host because that's what I don't want to be an actor. I don't want to be. And at the time, I didn't either. I had no interest in being an actor. And now as I get older, the art side of it as opposed to the business, because I always feel like I've really focused on the business of things.
Okay.
Because there's two things you can do. You can really try to get famous,
or
a lot of that comes from the art, or you can try to make a lot of money. And money and the art aren't always the same thing, and they're not even close sometimes.
That's exactly right, yes.
It was always about the money. How can I make the most amount of money
really?
Here? And it's not always the best choice in your career because as far as diversity in your, let's say diversity in your portfolio.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. If you look at somebody's, like people know me from the impressions and people even more narrowly know me from the sports impressions.
Yeah.
What's that audience? That's like putting all your money into bonds.
Yeah.
So now I'm just on this plateau and I don't have anything else that can go up. There's the risk factor's not very high.
Yeah.
So I'm just right here and I kind of did this and then just sat there. I got to a certain level, was very happy with where I was at, but then I also had kids. And when I had kids, it changed everything because that was my number one priority. Getting married, who cares? She's not going to see this, is it? Can we edit that?
Can we take the peak and then go down to a plateau?
No. Yeah, she, no.
Michelle, we muted that
but,
for you.
No, yeah. But my kids, I just wanted to be around my kids more. I was working in Vegas. I was chartering a plane to go back and forth to Vegas 3 times a week.
Whoa.
Because I lived in Phoenix and I wanted to take my kids to school some. And I didn't want to miss that, but I was missing too much. And I didn't want to move to Vegas because I just didn't feel like they were already acclimated to the Phoenix area and I didn't want to move around. I didn't know how long the Vegas thing was going to last. So I that's what I did.
So I want to say something about that. There's two types of people that I see that are successful. You have to have one of the two. And I think you're a study more like maybe what Sebastian was. There's like super goal-oriented people that just, they, like you said, like with me, they write these things down. There's 3,000 checklists. There's all the things they want. That is one type of person who becomes successful. There's also people who have this like what I'd call like obsession type focus. Like they're just super obsessed, focused people. You strike me more like the latter. Like I don't believe that someone can get as have the longevity you've had. Obviously, one of the reasons you've had longevity is you're uniquely talented, uniquely skilled, right? But you've been really career focused for a long time until you had the kids.
Yes,
right?
And when even then I still was. I just took breaks and was home more. But when I would go before the family, before my family, what I would do is I would go to a city. And I would, if I was doing a club, you do 3 nights, let's say Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'd get there on Tuesday. I'd start doing the radio and the local media on Tuesday to sell everything out. Other people would get there on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
And they would do the press on Friday. So they're Friday, Saturday. Now, there might have been people who could sell more tickets than me on the whole weekend without even showing up.
Yeah.
But I would spend an extra, then I'd be adding shows.
Yeah, you're the grinder.
And right. And this was at the time when radio was what social media has kind of become. And they kind of intertwine at a certain point. Like It's difficult now because a lot of the clubs and theaters, they don't even understand the power of terrestrial radio. Still works. Mm-hmm. You just have to be special and interesting to make it work because they all have their own social media as well.
Good point.
But what they do is they just rely on people's social media. So if I go to a club, I have a different process for selling tickets than other people do because I'm just a different animal and they don't see it that much.
Interesting, man. So you do, this is cool. I like getting inside, like, because let's like, you're hilarious and talented and all that, but like, it has been an incredibly long career and it's, and successful. And now I think kind of go to a different scope and a different level too. But like, that's the reason. The reason is you're a grinder, you're a horse, you're obsessively focused.
I was, and then I took a break.
He told me
and
that.
And when I take the break, that's the difficult thing for me, because I was, if you take that break and you are the grinder, I think it hurts you. Because that's what I've always been.
Yep, that's
and
your
that,
recipe.
And that was the thing. That was the recipe for success. Yep. Was get out there, be on the ground, hit it, march, and get whatever two sayings I want to mix together.
You were almost pulling that off right there.
Yeah, I was close, but I called it before you could. I almost went Trump on that.
That would have been tremendous just to put a couple of things together right now. Probably the number one podcast Ed has ever done. Now, Ed, let me show you do incredible podcasts. A lot of great, and a lot of people are talking about them. What? How many downloads? Over 42 billion in the last one alone. 42 billion downloads. And now we're going to double that. It's going to be incredible. Look, I don't even have to look at the people. I can actually see. It seems like I can look through my eyelids, but what I'm doing, I have tiny little TV screens on HD 5K. Not a lot of people have big screen 5K. I've actually got them on the inside of my eyelids. It's like Ant-Man from Endgame. And take a look what's going on here. It's incredible. I can also make them huge, which I don't. I have hands the size of Wreck-It Ralph. That's how big they are. It's incredible.
He's the only guy, I talk about this in my act, he's the only guy who can describe a word with the same word. It'd be like, that's incredibly incredible. And I stay away from politics too. I talk about politicians because they're characters.
Yeah.
But even when George W. Bush was president, I was in Texas. People would come up to me and go, I'll be, you know, just talking like this. God. Just making it happen. You know, and people would come up to me and go, in the same one, they would be like, in the same show, people go, you must really love him. And other people go, oh, you must really hate him. And that's where I wanted to be, where like people don't know where I'm coming from politically.
Gosh.
Because that's not my job.
First off, everybody, if you're listening to this on audio, you're laughing your ass off and obviously learning a lot too, but you have to go see the YouTube.
Let's make this the number one downloaded Ed Milet YouTube video. We can, Ed, tell them, talk to the camera, talk to your camera. I'll be in here with my giant hands. It's hard to keep them out.
When you did the Bush, though, right now.
It's those ass.
My gosh, brother. Like, some of the things you do, the Morgan Freeman is the voice.
It's right? All the voice, because that's the voice is the most important thing.
Okay.
With Morgan Freeman, you couldn't do, and that's the way, even though if he's a child, yes, that's how I was in third grade, sonny. But it's the voice. The closer you can get, the better it is. It's not making it the caricature, but it's the face. Everything sells, and then the voice doesn't even have to be that good because you're selling 100%. You're selling physical. You're selling the auditory.
Yeah.
You're selling all of it. You're selling a character. You're not just selling one piece. Now, you'd said to me off screen, you're like, before we started, you're like, you said, hey, you're the best impressionist in the world. I go, I'm not. There are people who are better. There are people who can do dead-on impressions better than me and more of them. But how do they sell them? Do they create characters out of them? Mm. And that's one of the things I've been really good at, and marketing and making. And the sports side of it, which is what people really know me from.
Yeah.
But we barely talked any sports.
Yeah.
So I have this niche of where people, when they hear me on the radio or something like that, they come out to see, and it's a lot of sports fans.
Yeah.
And I hit the sports stuff. Mm-hmm. And did you see that fly? I saw that fly.
I saw it too.
I saw that fly. Yeah. And that, you know what? We invited that fly. We wanted it to be here.
But that's a good example. I want you to go there right here. First off, we're talking a lot about selling something and marketing, which obviously, as you're listening to this, you're being entertained. But like, what are the applications, right?
And what, think about that key, right? What you just said there. You're entertaining while selling. It's actually selling and marketing, and it's secondary. It seems secondary. Mm-hmm. It's actually, what are we trying to sell here in a lot? We're trying to sell you. We're trying to sell me. We're trying to sell people believing what you have to say in the future and what you've said in the past. So we are trying to sell something here, but entertaining, is really what we're doing and what it seems on the surface to be the most important thing.
Yeah, and I think personally, just to jump with you, I think
You started out by doing a lot of touching and hitting me, and
I didn't realize how strong you were. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know until we got closer.
Yeah.
But I want you to hear this, everyone. Like, in the age of social media, even those of you that are in sales or in marketing, one, you can hear how cognizant an entertainer is of this, right? The priority of that. But also the second thing is, like, everything now has to have an entertainment aspect to it. Even your presentation, it's almost like infotainment. There's got to be something where people enjoy the experience of receiving your sales pitch, of receiving your information, of interacting with you. It's all about the experience. But the one thing, like, the fly just flew by you. And off camera, I told you,
one of my bits, like Al Pacino, it's like he's this. Always looking like at this. A fly. Did I lick something?
You got it.
Was the fly there?
No, was it stuck? It was some white thing.
Oh.
You got it. You just ate it.
Oh.
Whatever it was, I hope it's yummy.
Okay. You know what that was? Success.
I don't know why I looked at that camera. That's totally the wrong camera. But Donald Trump would do that.
Yeah. Look, I'm looking at the perfect camera right now. And if I'm not, that person's going to be gone.
Well, I don't even know what I was going to say. That's so weird.
No, but I was saying...
You get real close.
Like, I get in the zone.
Like, there's a force field on
it. It's an energy
there.
Thing. Just get you close.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's a good example, though. Off the camera, I told you, and you agreed with me, that we're very similar and that we're both very... You're hyper-observant of people. Like, I think you can't do what you do. Correct me if I'm wrong in a minute, but, like, I don't think you can do what you do unless you're just unbelievably observant of people. And I am, too. I told you that because my dad was a drinker when he was younger, I'd have to really I learned at, like, 4 or 5 years old to observe my dad when he'd come home to know which version I was getting. Was I getting the sober, fun, loving dad, or was I kind of getting the dad who may be a little bit tired or in a bad mood or, you know?
So you learn to read the audience. You learn to read the audience and then be a person based on that audience and who... that version of you or that piece of you. For me, I was in high school. And when I was in high school, I would actually know when the class, I couldn't tell you how, maybe I had spider sense, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't tell you how, but I could feel when the class wasn't understanding stuff. So I would ask questions that would help the other students. I was a B kind of student. I wasn't an A student. Mm. I struggle this with my son, who's way smarter than me, but has the same mentality as me. And I wish I could just go, look, you could be so much further along in the rest of your life if you knew what I knew now. Mm. But I would actually ask questions. I remember being in a specific Spanish class and saying something, does that mean, and then whatever. And the teacher would say, yes, and then a couple more sentences to explain it. And then I could feel the other kids around the room actually engaging and going, okay, now we got it. And I don't know why I did it. I don't know. The teachers would always tell my parents I was a leader. And my dad would be like, this kid's not a leader. What are you talking about? Like, because I didn't have a ton of confidence as a kid. I still don't. It still hits me. Like, I know what I can do and I know what I'm really good at, but anything new, a new adventure is difficult for me. Right now in stand-up, I'm trying lots of new stuff. Yeah. And it's not all impression-based. Mm. When I go and do the impression, if I know the impression's done, like they're never really done, but it's worked on to a point where it's ready to go, that I can sell it. But to sell me talking, this is taking what I'm doing right now, and it's because I've been podcasting a lot and talking as myself, that I've learned to... feel that I'm actually interesting as myself talking. And I can go into this other stuff, which is what sets me apart. Mm-hmm. I can just be talking and become Donald Trump or go Morgan Freeman or just Senator John Mann or John Grudeman. I can just go from voice to voice. You become like a 7-year-old girl. I've never seen anything like you go from just this guy like, all right, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
I'm smitten with you.
Yeah.
It's why I did the show. I'm telling you right now. And by the way, I appreciate you saying that about your confidence level, because you really can't transfer to someone that which you're not feeling. That's so, like, even in your stand-up, like, you do need to get to that level of comfort with the new material to transfer the certainty to people. I think that in everything we do, that's just something to be conscious of. Like, other guys I work with that are in the communication, I'm like, you have to get to the place where you're that confident and certain, because the audience senses your lack of certainty, especially, by the way, especially, and this is for you salespeople too, especially when there is a portion of your presentation you're more certain about, they can feel the energy difference when you go into the stuff that you're not as certain about. The contrast gives you a space that's dangerous energy-wise when you're presenting.
A lot of people can feel truth. That's what actors are really good at, creating truth. Now, some people are great actors, and they can create a truth. But people can read truth. And when you're coming from something, that's why we use anecdotes, personal anecdotes, because an emotion is tied to that inside of you. Mm. And then you can tie it. And if it really hits you, the audience will feel that as well. If you just tell it, if you make up a story, yeah, a lot of the audience, some of it might buy you, yeah, you know, buy it. But other people are going to be like, I don't know. I don't know why. And they might not even know why. Mm. But it doesn't. When you have that emotion, when you have that, entertainment's not really different than sales.
It's not.
No, I mean, when you're an actor, you're just selling that you're somebody else.
Right, and I think, I say this to all a ton of people, I'm really glad we're going here for a second. I don't think you can transfer to somebody or an audience, a person or an audience, that which you're not experiencing yourself. So if the story is true, or if you do believe it, or if you are confident in it, you'll transfer that certainty to somebody, that energy to someone. If you're not, they feel it. And that's why a lot of times some of my stand-up friends, when they are trying new material, it's difficult to decipher whether the material is good or not, because it's not the material that may not be good, it's your lack of comfort and certainty with it. That's also true for those of you that are in sales. It may not be that your presentation is not really what it should be. It may be that you're not yet repetitious enough with it or confident enough with it where you're transferring the energy to people. It may not be the words or the joke.
Do you, and I didn't learn about this until acting. I just recently, in the last few years, started taking acting classes. Mm-hmm. I met a guy, I always thought there's no way that stuff's real or works. So I met a guy in Phoenix, his name's Matt Deering, and he's been out to the East Coast to train with like some real big time acting coaches. And I never realized how important it was to have things, and this is a sales thing. Yeah. This is even outside, but it works in knowing your lines in entertainment in a script.
Yeah.
If you can say a script while doing something else, then you really know it.
Wow, that's
so good. If you memorize to the point where you, like, well, we would memorize a script, and then what we do is we'd play catch or be doing something else while reciting the script back and forth. Yeah. If you can do that, it's second nature. So I'm talking and I'm trying to present an idea to you, right? Mm-hmm. So I could be doing anything. I could be checking this pillow over here. Mm-hmm. I can do anything I want. I can be taking a drink. Mm-hmm. I naturally pause. I know when to start talking again. But if it were a script, you ever watch somebody on screen? And you know they're like, okay, now I have to take a drink.
Yes.
And you can see that happen.
Yes.
Or you try it yourself. That's because you don't know the dialogue that well that you just can't talk through it.
Very good. That's really good.
It's an amazing, and that's what the best actors can do. They can memorize to a point where they just talk.
Well, that's outstanding. I've not heard that before.
So if you have to think, this is as an actor, and I would say this works in sales too. If you have to think about what you're going to say, you've already lost the audience for that amount of time because they're going, wait. You ever see somebody do this? Mm-hmm. And it's not planned. There can be moments where you're thinking of something, you come out of character of it. Because when you're doing a presentation, you're kind of in your character mode of your presentation version of yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you come out, you got to think, what was I going to say here? That part right there, all of a sudden they go, he doesn't know he's talking.
Doesn't know he's talking about it, or they don't trust what you're about to say being true. That's so interesting you say that. I just want to weave a line in here about it. One of the things I always say is that you need to know your lines or your presentation so well, and whatever you're doing, that it's reflexive. Meaning you don't think you be, because under pressure, you respond reflexively to things. And if that reflex is you don't know it, you're screwed. I just interviewed Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, and he said he's all about energy with these animals, right? It's just really interesting, and I just did it this week. It'll come out, you know, before this comes out. But what's interesting was he said that when he's in best influence with an animal is that he is being, not thinking, which is exactly what you just said.
I mean, when you can relate and it's a give and take with the audience or whatever you're doing, we're doing that right now. Mm. There isn't so much, we're not trying to keep to a script. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things you talked about before we came on here, it's like, don't have part A, part B. It's not my turn to talk, it's not your turn to talk. It's let's talk together, because that's how people actually talk.
Correct.
In a script, if you don't have it memorized and you're thinking, you don't have it memorized enough, you're like, okay, it's my turn to talk. That's already taking you out of the script. Mm-hmm. It's my turn to talk. You just have to hear it and go.
Right.
And you're in the moment. I think that applies to all the sales, all presentations.
So do I.
Everything you're doing. It's that don't think, don't plan, just be.
Gosh, that's so good, because I'm really glad we're going there, because I did something recently on listening that you were making reference to earlier. And the only way in sales or even in anything like this is the only way that you can really listen to somebody is that you are already very comfortable with what you would say, so that you don't have to be thinking about what you're going to say back to somebody. You can actually just be present
with them. Don't plan what you're about to say back. Listen to what they have to say. Because if I listen to what you have to say, my planned response may not fit what you just said.
That's good.
So if you do want to get a message across, make sure you address what the person just said first. This is not acting. This is because you can't do that. You can't change the lines in acting if you're doing a script that's written. But in terms of sales, relationships in business, don't just have this next thing planned to say, because that will turn a person off. It's like you're literally, if somebody uses a word, you using that as a connection, you lose a connection on when somebody is doing something completely different and on a different plane than you. When they're going off and like, okay, but let's bring it back. Like, it's not even that. It's you ask me a question and I start saying things about acting again, but it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I had this plan in my head. And that's not what people want.
I watch that a lot in interviews on podcasts too. I'm like, oh, you didn't even hear what they just said. You just went back into the next thing you had on the list. I'm curious, do you know when you're losing an audience? And if you do know you're losing it, is there a way to change that?
I mean, right now I lose an audience more because I go off on these tangents to try different things. Mm-hmm. But I'm almost purposely doing that.
About that. I think that's being willing to take some risks.
100%, because I'm so scared. I got so happy with what I was doing with my act and the formulas in my act that I didn't take a lot of risk, and it became, you ever hear the story about stories, and this is a psychological, I guess, as well. Somebody gets in a car accident. The best thing to do is get them in a car again. The longer you wait, the tougher it is to get them back in that car. Yep. Because they'll build up, they'll make the event bigger and bigger and bigger. I was on stage doing the same stuff over and over, bored with my act, not taking chances, not learning, not getting better. And it took its toll on me, but I was out there just making them. Again, that was the business side of me, not the art or the relationship side of me. The relationship there is between me and the audience, and doing a lot of the same stuff over and over. Now, I have to do certain things. If I don't do a John Madden impression, I don't do a Morgan Freeman, I don't do some of these impressions people know me for, people get upset. I believe there's still an audience, and I'm going to give them the things they want, but in different ways and lots of different stuff as well.
Yeah, you go see the Rolling Stones, they better play Satisfaction, right? You'd be like, wait a minute, man. I mean, I want your new stuff.
Yeah.
Anytime you go see a new band, you're like, I'll listen to some of your new stuff, but I came to hear
I want to hear Billy Joel. I want to hear Piano Man.
Exactly.
I don't get Piano Man, I'm sad. And he's an entertainer who gets it, and he'll do that. Even you play the new stuff, and it's the art. It's the combination of art and business, which is what pretty much everything is.
How do you do an impression? How do you do Gruden? So take Gruden for a minute, who, by the way, was a coach of mine at my freshman year of college. But so. And you do him magnificently, but like, is it?
So first of all, everybody has to know who he is. He was a coach, an NFL coach. He was a coach with the Oakland Raiders, won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At the time, the youngest coach to win a Super Bowl. There's more backstory to that, but he's got this look on his face. His nickname's Chucky, and the reason they call him Chucky because he looks like that killer doll, man. And he'll just go. And that look, man, I'll tell you. He's another guy. He just sets goals. He's in there at 3:30 in the morning.
He's a psycho.
Yeah,
he's
crazy.
He's a psycho.
But it's...
What was it like when you did the impression for... And I think most of my audience knows Gruden. Most of them are sports fans. What was it like when you did Gruden with Gruden? Because I saw that at the QB table.
And that's important. The first time I met him, he's like, so you're the guy that does me, huh? Where are you from? And I looked up where he was from, so I said that. I was like, Sandusky, Ohio. He's like, really? I'm like, no. He's like, good. Because you were blowing my mind, man. But to do this back and forth with him, we were just sitting there like this for like 10 minutes. Not 10 minutes, but it felt like that. Just like 10, 15 seconds just going.
But when you do Gruden, I'm curious.
I am a believer. I have friends who do really great impressions, some brilliant people. They won't do an impression of somebody they work with. There are certain guys because they're afraid it's gonna bother the person.
Do you know right away whether you can do someone or can you do anybody?
Oh, I wish I could do it, but I'd be, yeah.
So like Gruden, for example, you saw him.
I was working on something else and it became Gruden. I went to ESPN. So I was at Fox for 9 years. And
career, man.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I was there for 9 years with Terry Bradshaw and that group. And it just got stagnant. And it was kind of, it was a time to go away. And I, every year I was like, I don't know. And finally Fox said, I think it's time. And I was like, okay. I just wish I'd have had a better chance to say goodbye in that situation. But then I went over to ESPN. And when I went to ESPN, I had to learn to do different stuff because the stuff that I was doing at Fox that was boring to me, and I think to the audience as well, it wouldn't work at ESPN because ESPN is sports first. The NFL and Fox is kind of like a magazine where ESPN is like a newsroom and a newspaper.
Right.
So a little bit of a different type of situation there. So I started working. They were like, can you do impressions of ESPN people? I was like, I don't know if there's anybody to do. I started watching ESPN more closely for that reason, realized in that situation, there's more characters on ESPN than there are in Cartoon Network. And I talk about that, like in my act, there's Stephen A. Smith, and the A stands for astronomical, which is where my vocabulary is presently. So you find these different people. Gruen was another one. But I started doing these impressions of people there and realized, hey, this is a different audience, a new audience. But it was like The Simpsons, where they were all famous in their own world.
Yeah. Are some people built upon others?
So
like, for example, so if you took, I'm just curious, like Morgan Freeman, is there any variation, and I'm probably giving the wrong names here, but is Morgan Freeman far removed tonality-wise from like a Al Pacino?
Yes.
They're totally different.
I would say totally different. I would. Okay. I'll give you an example. Okay. George W. Bush, Tara Bradshaw, and Chris Rock. So it's they're all pretty close. John Madden could become Bill Walton. How great is that? Unbelievable.
Wow.
So there's different things. It's like a muscle, the impression itself, where if I get that muscle memory there, it can just be trained.
I knew when we did the show that people were going to be really entertained, but I'm really glad also that there's been like these nuggets of things that people
I'm telling you, I watched, once you messaged me on Instagram, which I wasn't even, Instagram is one of the things that I'm trying to build right now because I paid no attention to it.
Which everyone is right now before you say this going to follow you. We shouldn't do it at the end, we should do it right now. Follow Frank on Instagram at?
At Frank Caliendo. If you can't spell Caliendo, it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. At Frank C, alien, do. And that's a little business technique I might let you in on. If you talk about something, like if I screwed it up and I end up talking about it more, I'll do reads for people sometimes on radio stations, and they'll be like, the sponsor's gonna be mad you screwed that up. I'm like, oh no, they're not gonna be mad, because I just did it twice. I spent more time talking about how I screwed it up that it became more important, and it became the programming, it became the entertainment value, instead of just a straight read of something.
Very good.
I go, they might be mad today, but give me a call in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they started using it.
Very true, like, man. Like, I believe that. And also, people should know the way you got here. I told you there's two people I've reached out to. I reached out to Sebastian, I reached out to you. I chased you to do the show because I'm using the show kind of as like a weapon lately, where like I want to have people on who, people ask me all the time, why don't you just have all your really, the well-known friends that you and I both have, why don't you have all them on the show? I probably will have, they've had some on and I'll have more, but I really wanted to meet you. That's why you're like,
I didn't know what you did. I didn't know much about you. And right. It's funny because as soon as I brought you up, my brother-in-law, who could be like your cousin or something. There's something in the eyes.
You showed me
knows,
the picture.
And he has your mentality. His name's Chris Vitale, and he really is. I mean, but he's very driven and probably the hardest working guy I've ever met. And I was in that phase for a little while when I was doing all the radio stations and stuff like that and trying to sell myself, but I've never seen anybody do it this much. But his wife, Auntie Candy, she's like, Ed Mylett, I love Ed Mylett. He's unbelievable. So I was laughing about that. I'm like, everybody knows more about Ed Mylett than me. But I started watching a lot of your videos. And I started going, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. Because I'm not a great reader. This is what happens in my mind. Like, I start to read, and then I start thinking about everything else. But when I see that video, and you do it in little chunks, it's very helpful because that's where we at, I think, as a society. But I was just there way before.
Yep.
My brain, I probably have some type of problem with trying to focus.
I think we're conditioned that way now. I wrote a book, it's 100 pages, and the reason I did is you could read it in a day because people don't read 300 or 400 pages. Number one, their attention span's not that long. Number two, everyone's just a lot busier than they used to be.
People have more stuff to do. Everybody's pulling at you from a different direction. You don't have a lot of time.
That's why this is so big. That's why the audio portion of this even exceeds the video, because they can do this when they're working out, they can do this when they're driving.
Right. Think about how important, it used to be the visual, used to be the most important thing in the world. Television won election.
That's right.
And now audio, because we're always doing something else, that the audio can be while you're driving, can be exactly what you said,
you can
while
argue,
you're working
Frank,
out.
You could even argue, Frank, that social media wins elections now. You could argue that Barack Obama's advantage when he ran was social media at the time. If you go back and look, he was the first political candidate. And then you look at Trump compared to Hillary on social media.
So those are small little nuggets, mm-hmm. and that is the time. But in terms of the audio, you can do, like, that stuff you do in between other things. Yep. Don't do while driving. But right. the you can watch little snippets, and that's the time. But the audio, it used to be that video was so much more important mm-hmm. to everybody. And I don't believe that anymore, because we're always doing something else. And we have, it was only music people listened to during running or working out. Now people are actually gaining information, getting information while doing those other things to help themselves out.
Yeah. Speak to your social media for a second. You were talking about that because my show has grown and grown and grown and grown because of the combination of what you just described with the audio. And then clearly, you know, my social media has grown to a pretty large extent, at least in the last year and a half when I started.
Yeah, I show my daughter that you messaged me, and she goes, he has a million followers. Go do his podcast, Dad.
it's good. It's a good validation, and that's a lesson. If you're someone in the business world right now, or you're an entertainer, listen to me, and you don't have a social media following, it's gonna hurt you getting clients in your business life, because social media is now credibility and validation.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you said do it whenever.
Yes.
If I go into an executive's office, and I only have 20-some thousand Instagram followers, mm-hmm. @FrankCaliendo. I only have, that's bad. My Twitter is 325,000 or something mm-hmm. like that, because I built that earlier. Yeah. And I was driven to go do that. But to me, that 20,000 is embarrassing for the level mm-hmm. I'm at.
Well, we're changing that right now.
I'm working on it.
We're going to do that today. We're going to do that when this comes out. That will change automatically. But to your point, someone like Dwayne Johnson, let's just use Dwayne for a minute. He's an extreme example in an acting profession, but those of you that are selling mortgages or have a supplement company or a dry cleaners, I don't care what it is, people go there, not Google anymore. They go there to see who you are, whether you're real, whether you're credible, and whether other people think you're an expert in your industry. And I'm telling you right now, Dwayne Johnson is the number one box office star in the world. And it's interesting, you could argue that both feed each other. When he went to sign some of his largest deals, it doesn't hurt when he says, I get the kind of engagement on social media that I get. It feeds him getting roles. Robert Downey Jr. is one of the most dominant people on all of social media.
Incredible, gets millions of comments just by dancing, okay? I'm actually doing a Robert Downey Jr. Do me a favor, join me.
Sorry. No, it was so good. I get too excited. I'm sorry. That was so good.
My daughter always says, bring it down. Do it a little deeper. Mm-hmm. Okay. Favor. Reactions. Commence.
That's Juliet, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that name. Well, I'm a social media novice to some extent as well, ironically. And I went to look at his and I'm like, this dude just danced for 30 seconds and got 42,000 comments.
It's unbelievable.
It's a stratosphere, right? Well, it helps being in the Avengers, but it also helps having that to get gigs like the Avengers. So this is why you want to grow it. What are you learning? Because you're teaching
me stuff. I'm going to tell you, you're speaking the truth right there. It's a terrible, I think it's in a way a terrible thing, but it's reality.
Correct.
I judge people and their professionalism based on, if they're local, I'm going to look for a lower number. Mm-hmm. If you're a local business person, I'm probably going to look for a couple to a few thousand Twitter followers or Instagram followers, maybe 1,000 Instagram followers. If you have 35 Instagram followers, I don't believe you're in the business you're in, especially if you're a social media marketer. Mm-hmm. If you're a social media, if that's your expertise and you have 35 followers, how come you can't get yourself? How are you going to sell me if you can't sell yourself?
Yep.
So we do judge. You might try not to, you might believe you're not doing it, but you are.
Well, people need to wake up to this. I'm so glad you're saying this, because 15 years ago, what mattered was these little initials people thought on your business card, like MBA or CLU or whatever the heck the thing is on your business card now. That stuff's here. I mean, that's not completely irrelevant, but it's pretty close to it nowadays. What they're checking is, do you have a following on social media? Do people engage with you? And then also, what are you posting? You were teaching me things.
And,
off camera.
And you know what? As you start to get some momentum with it, use it. People don't realize this. Nobody remembers. This is probably 15 years ago. I don't even know when it was. I was the number one thing on YouTube for a while with my George W. Bush versus Bill Clinton. How are they different? How are they similar? Yeah. And I, it was, that's in it, it's still only 13, 14 million people, but viewers. But at one point, it was 5 million when nobody had anything. And then I got beat by a cat that falls down a canyon or something right. ridiculous like that. By the way, you're the weirdest texter in the world. That thing really? You do where you do a voice recording and then send the voice recording?
Yes.
You're one of the only people I've ever seen. Do you not like to text?
Or
do you...
It's faster and... It started with Tony Robbins doing it with me.
Okay.
He's constantly, hey, you know, he'll do those voice. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool because when I'm driving... I can't type, but the challenge with it is what you just said. Probably 30% of the people don't know to press the play button when I send those, so they never get my message.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was just an odd thing to me, a unique. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say odd, I'm gonna use the correct terms because it wasn't a negative.
Right.
It was a different thing, but it gave me some like insight into you.
Well, here's a little even sicker thing. Like, I think everybody should take a little less
here. It's way more personal.
Well, that's the, and I don't have a lot of, everyone just.
It's odd at first, but then personal.
Oddly personal. And right. so, no, but when you
which stay, should be, that's going to be our sitcom. But, oddly personal.
But when you, I'll tell you why I do it. Another reason, and it's why I do a podcast too. I don't have a whole lot of gifts. Okay, I don't. One of them though is I do have, or you've taught me that I use it a certain way. I do have a rather authoritative voice. Mm-hmm. This is important, everyone. And so any chance I can use my voice when I'm communicating other than other things, I don't have the particular. For me, when you look at me, I already know, and like if you and I walked in, we were selling mortgages together, immediately visually, everyone should take an inventory. The most successful and happiest people are self-aware. That's why you're so successful. We just didn't get to it today because you're super self-aware and aware of other people. If me and you walked in to sell a mortgage, and you made them pick immediately, which of these two people do you trust more? They would pick you. You have more of a trust. I'm on acquired taste. So I know visually I'm not easy to digest in the beginning, right? I know that about myself. So, but what I do have going for me is my voice. And so any chance in any kind of communication I can use my voice and
I'll
use it.
I'll tell you, and the mortgage thing, you look prepared.
Thank
you. No, but it's like everything down is like everything. Mm. There's a... I'm trying to, I don't mean this in a negative way, but it could, but you said you're an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I could see that is because you do look so well put together that I'm like, there's almost a barrier of, can I trust this guy?
That's exactly what it
is. He's so, it's so well groomed, everything's together. And you have a stare that can look through. Mm-hmm. I met Tom Cruise years ago. And when I met Tom Cruise, I thought he was putting a hole in my head. His eyes, the way Gruden does it too, you know that. But there's this, the eye, a lot of people can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's my son, I talk about this in my act, my son, he doesn't look at another person like it's always like they got a big mole right here and he's not sure if he should look at it or not. But you put him on that Xbox headset, he's like, we will form in a 2x2 formation. This is a code red, a code red. Like he's suddenly the army general from Toy Story. And kids in this day and age, they can talk to each other as long as they're looking at a screen and it's not them on the screen. They can communicate all day talking to each other like this.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them eye to eye, all of a sudden it's kind of weird.
That social media contributes to that too. So that's kind of one of the reasons I do it. And then you have this multitude of giftedness, but I already know, like I know what my deficiencies are. Everybody should be taking an inventory of these things too. And I kind of know
make
what a couple of my
checklist.
Are. Make it's one checklist. Of the 32,000 checklists.
32,406 now.
Mike is literally dying laughing over here.
Was that right? Was I right on the money on that?
Pretty close. I'm not going to lie to you. You're pretty close.
But it has to. I can tell by where you shaved.
Yeah.
I can tell.
It's the beard's going away tomorrow, so enjoy it while it's here. We got a little bit too much beard dye going today, but it's the way it goes. So I want to ask you.
You also are amazing at getting back on track because I am a tangent machine.
Yes.
And you were able to, only one time did you struggle at some point. That was something I learned from you.
Mm-hmm.
right here in watching this go. I knew you were. I knew you were a taskmaster, a person who could get things, create a goal, go get it. But your ability to remember what we were talking about before I went on the tangent is fantastic.
Well, it's difficult because I really, with most of my guests, but particularly today, like you can tell, I enjoy it. Like I really enjoy it. I'm really grateful we did this today. Because I know a side of you now that, you know what it is? It makes me root for you more. And it
right.
also
that's the human element, as opposed to just the impressions and seeing the characters. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for.
So what I wanted to ask you last, though, that I think is important for people, because they're going to find you on Instagram.
At Frank Caliendo.
At Frank Caliendo. Something about alien in there.
The
that
word
you said
C, the letter C, the word alien, the word do. Because people can't do it. They'll be, are you? I remember when I first would go out to like Minneapolis and stuff. Are you that Frank Calamari? Yeah, I'm from the ocean. I'm fresh.
Calamari.
Yeah, squid. Fresh baked squid.
So let me ask you this last question, because I ask a lot of my guests this, and I think you can help with this. And you're not prepped for this one, but I think your answer will be awesome. So someone's watching this. And they've known who you are. Now they've got a little bit of a behind the scenes about Michelle and the kids and your personal life and the transition and your career and all that stuff. And some of the keys of how you've done what you've done. But if you were to meet with one of these people
right.
who are in my audience, most of the people that are in this audience listening or watching this today, they want to take their life to a different place from where it is, just like what you do right now.
Right.
You've got a really successful life, but you want to go to a different place now. What would your advice be to them?
I mean, I think it's because I'm in that phase again now.
Yeah.
It's set the goals and then try to attain the goals. Dude, really, literally all the stuff that I say that I'm making fun of you for mm-hmm. is the stuff that actually works. Mm-hmm. You write stuff down. Mm-hmm. Put the motivational mm-hmm. stuff up in front of you. Believe mm-hmm. it. Talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. Talk to yourself. If you say things out loud, you can make things happen. I haven't heard you say that, but it seems like something you would say. Mm-hmm. But it's because there's truth to that. If you get yourself to believe something, the only way things really happen and continue to happen is if you believe they're going to happen. If you put that out there, that negative energy out there, it's one of the things you talk about. People aren't born believing they can't do something. Mm-hmm. Some other outside influence gets you there. Mm-hmm. Not sure if I believe that 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to contradict it,
it's okay.
but I think it definitely is elevated by people. You mm-hmm. might have doubts. Mm-hmm. If it was completely pure, yeah, I think so. But we always have even little bits of don't mm-hmm. do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But as we get going and in society, everybody's saying don't, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And you start to go, what can I do? And then you give up.
Yeah.
You put those all aside and just if you set yourself up with goals. And we all have limits. Mm-hmm. If you can be the best, at least you can walk away going, I tried my hardest, I did my best.
That's exactly right.
And you can live with that.
Yes.
I can live with failing in a situation if I know I gave it 100% and truly cared. Mm-hmm. If I didn't care, I'll have regrets.
Wow, that's really good.
How many regrets have you had in your life? Because you're like, if I had just spent that little extra time instead of going out and hanging out with my friends, mm-hmm. I would have had this deal. I would have done this. And that could have springboarded something else.
Yeah. That's really good, Frank. And I want to just say one thing to you about that. I do think that doubt is a natural part of being a human. So I want to make sure everybody's right. clear on that. I think the negative beliefs that confirm those doubts were given to us when we were young. Because I don't want everyone out there to think
even as an adult, they do it. People do it constantly. You can't just go on Twitter for a second and they'll tell you how bad you are.
Well, go read all the comments from interview today. There's going to be two people out of 4,000 who are going to have something to say negative about something you or I said. The thing that's natural in life is to have doubt. That's why we have prayer. That's why we work on our confidence. That's part of growing. But what isn't natural is to have people install the beliefs that confirm those doubts in us when we're young. And the more we're aware of those, the more successful and happier we can become, at least in my opinion. Yeah. So today was rocking. Dude, I did not know where today was going to go.
No.
And I'm really,
still
really...
still not sure where it went.
It was awesome. It was awesome. So much so
that
I want to do it again.
6 hours we did.
We did 6 hours, but we'll edit it down to like 4.5, something like that. But I want to tell you, first off, thank you, brother.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it so much. And I want you guys to be following Frank on social media because I think I want you to watch the journey he's about to go on. I know you're all rooting for him now. Plus the fact... You know what, every day you're going to get something that's just going to make you feel better, but you're going to laugh, you're going to smile, you're going to know what's going on in his life. And then also with me, if you're not, follow me on Instagram. Remember that, turn your notifications on because we run the max out 2-minute drill every day. There's 3 ways to win now on my Instagram, everybody. I want to remind you this. Number one, if you just make a comment within the first 2 minutes when I make a post in my main feed, we usually give you about 5 minutes. Number two, if you make a comment on other people's comments, you have a better chance of winning. We pick winners from there. And then third, if you miss the first 2 minutes, I make about 5 or 6 posts a week. As long as you just make a comment at any point in the day, at any time, you're picked as a winner. Anybody who makes a comment on every post all week, we pick winners from there as well. You get Ride on My Jet, my book, interactions with my guests, coaching calls with me, tickets to see me speak, all kinds of cool stuff. So please interact with me. I read your comments. As you know, I get back to a couple thousand of them a day typically. I want to engage. I want to know what's going on in your life. I want to help you. Okay? So God bless you, everybody. If you
hey,
enjoyed
Kenny,
today's show.
Before you wrap it up, yes. though, I want to mention this too, the podcast that I've been doing.
Yes.
FrankPods.com okay. will bring you to both of them. One's called Comic Playground. That's a fun little one. A little more, less about this. But then another one's called Al and Frank Try to Be Serious.
Okay.
And Al Jackson and I talk about a lot of things that are political subjects without being political about them, and just human beings and trying. It's actually kind of what you talk about too. It's about, hey, listen to arguments from the other side and be a human being instead of just disliking somebody who disagrees with you.
Wouldn't the world be better for that? So please also get into Frank's podcast there as well. Okay, everyone, God bless you. Max out.
Man, I screwed up the end. Max out again. Take the peek. Max out.
This is the Ed Milet Show.